Thank you, Lord. As we continue to battle in the spirit, we're watching the manifestation in the physical. We're seeing the powers of darkness being exposed, corruption being exposed. Many things are being exposed. Now, exposure is purpose so that God can get people's attention. So that what? God can get people's attention. You know, when many people get sick that are unbelievers or that are not walking with the Lord, I always ask them, because they call for prayer. God got your attention. What's God trying to do? He's trying to bring a first contact to many. Everyone say first contact. Remember your first contact. See, we refresh everything off of our first contact and refresh every other contact afterwards. It keeps us going. It's like revelation. We go from revelation to revelation. Always remembering your first contact when God revealed himself to you. It could be in any kind of way whatsoever, anything. No matter how he revealed himself to you, it's called first contact. You know, you can't say to God be the glory without a first contact. Many people can't glorify God in everything because they've never really had a true first contact. They've been religious, proclaiming to be Christians, but they truly never had an original first contact. And this is what separates. This is how people become unevenly yoked. But an individual that hasn't had a first contact. And they struggle. Because one's being led and the other one's being misled. So God is always setting us up and preparing us for a first contact and then refreshing our contacts with him. Everyone in this room is going to have a first contact if you haven't had one already. And you, let me tell you, that first contact you will never forget. That holds you. When everything else falls, your first contact with the Lord, because he makes himself what? Real. See, that's why God contacts. He prepares us for a first contact. He prepares us for a visitation. He prepares us for a revelation of who he is. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's all expressing him. It's revealing Jesus. All the letters to the churches was revealing Jesus, even though there was judgments. You know, we're battling these modern day Pharisees, aren't we? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you do not what? Refuse him who speaks. Now, let me share this with you. When God speaks, that means he invites. When God speaks, he invites. Amen? See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he's promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, there's something about the word of God. Is he, the word says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't unless you've had a first contact. There's, because fear and trembling is a representation of reverence. honor, respect. It says here they refuse him who speaks, which means invites. God was trying to reconnect or connect. Amen. For many, he was trying to give a first contact. Again, we see many things going on. It's not a political war. It's a spiritual war. It's a biblical war, isn't it, we're in right now. Think about how many people God is trying to awaken and bring first contact. You know, people get exposed and doing corruption for many years or whatever, and they get caught. It's usually the only time that they may come to repentance. Look at Saul who became Paul. The whole time, he thought he was doing the will of God, and he wasn't. He was doing the will of the enemy. Until God gave him first contact. When that connection was made and first contact was established, Paul became a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. In Hebrews chapter 1, you know, the Bible says that we know them by the fruit. And one of the fruits of an individual that's had first contact is that person always gives God the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Never takes glory for themselves. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son. Remember, when God speaks, what's he doing? Inviting. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much more better than the angels, as he has an inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. At various times and various ways, God spoke. In other words, he invited. He invited. Attempting to make contact with his creation. And refreshing those who've already had a first contact. Remember the Old Testament prophets? God was speaking to them through dreams and visions and angels, and even came in human form many times, God did, to visit them. Signs and wonders, all kinds of things that were going on in the Old Testament. What was he trying to do? He's trying to bring them a what? Visitation and an invitation for a first contact. Always. Now we have a new covenant. And those who have a covenant through the blood sacrifice of God, God brings us contact through his Spirit, through his Word. See, when you have first contact and you are born of the Spirit, the Word of God is not a book. Does everybody understand it? In other words, when you read books, it's a representation of a story or a person or whatever. This Bible is not a representation, it is. It is the person. Amen. It's written about the person. Because any word from God, there's an invitation. So it's a book of invitation, but it's not just a book. It's the person. The image. The testimony. It's always expressing first contact. Look at all the testimonies. Look at all the letters Paul wrote. It's all representation of contact. Always trying to bring people into the presence of God. When I had my first contact with the Lord, I desired another one. After you have a first contact with the Lord, you desire more. You want more and more and more. That's why you groan and you cry out, Lord, more. And again, a person that hasn't had a first contact cannot say to God be the glory and mean it. For you and I who have had first contact, to God be the glory in everything and everything he does. Everything that's happened, everything in our lives, even when there's chaos, to God be the glory. Why? Because we know things are going to happen to the good. It doesn't matter. We're not moved by the world's chaotic adventures, attacks of the enemy. We are moved by the presence of God and his goodness and his greatness and who he is. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to Exodus 3, starting at verse 1. Now, Moses' first contact was extraordinary. But there's a whole preparation behind it. In verse 1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked. So he what? He looked. Brought his attention. And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. The bush does not burn. So God got his attention with a sign, didn't he? He turned. Like, what the heck is this? It's a bush that burns, but it's not burning. Once God knew that, watch this, then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sign, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to what? Look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. See, it wasn't until the sign of the fire was an invitation, then came the first contact, watch. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, why would God tell Moses to take his shoes off? Not because they were dirty, because he had walked according to the world. And God had cursed the ground, amen, for Adam's sake. So Moses had walked on accursed ground for many years, and according to the Egyptian way and the worldly way. So Moses, God was telling Moses, take your shoes off because that's unholy. When you put your shoes back on, you'll be different. And what you touch will be holy. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up by the land to a good and large land, and a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. To a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites. And now listen, where was God bringing them? He wasn't bringing them into a safe place, let me tell you. These were all giants. These were tribes of Nephilim. Somebody get it? These were evil, wicked tribes, offsprings of Satan and fallen angels and their offsprings. So, you know, people might think, well, God's bringing them to a place of milk and honey. Man, they had God's going to train them up. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? I thought I could go to Pharaoh. I think this is where Moses began his stuttering. And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, I am has sent me to you. Now that was Moses' first contact. Did Moses have many more contacts after? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Moses' first contact was a sign of fire. It was an invitation. Then came his first contact. Take your sandals off because you've been on a cursed soil. Due to the why? Why did God curse the earth? Because of Lucifer, his fall, and how he deceived Adam. Due to the shape-shifting Lucifer, supernatural high-ranking angelic being, he's a deceiver, manipulator, and a pervert. He took Eve and produced offsprings of the Nephilim race, and then came Cain and the fallen angels that God destroyed with the flood. But Ham married a female Nephilim, and their tribes we still battle against today. They are spirits of unseen and possessed hosts of the seen that we battle today. They have taken positions of human hosts and political and governmental seats, media, music, sports, pharmaceutical, education. They've taken positions and been corrupting the world for all of these years. But God now is exposing it. Amen? Remember, Lucifer was a liar and a murderer. These people have no conscience in what they do in murdering human beings. God commanded Moses to build a tabernacle for the blood animal sacrifice for sins of his people and covenant to invite and visit and make contact to his individual people. I mean, just think about all the tribes that are around the tabernacle. And God would, there was a flame of fire at night and a cloud by day. Think about that. They had constant contact. It was before them every single day. When it lifted and moved, they wrapped it all up. They boxed up, prepared, put their shoes back on, packed the kids. Let's go. We're going. Going to the next place God's bringing us. What was the purpose? To invite and to visit and make contact. And also, God would always bring correction and direction through Moses to his people, wouldn't he? The tabernacle contains of three chambers, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, all with a purpose and function and anointing and a dimensional value. A what? Dimensional value. The outer court prepared for first contact. The outer court was always preparing an individual for the first contact, which is the holy place, the second court, which a person becomes a priest. See, because you're not going to want to minister to the Lord unless you've had first contact. Everybody get it? So this first contact, again, the outer court prepares for the first contact. The holy place is the first contact, a new reality, a new identity, citizens of destiny. A new voice, a voice from God. And that's where you say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Why? Because you are no longer who you used to be. You have a brand new identity. You know, look in the mirror. You may call yourself by your name you've been born with, but you are born again. And you're different. Your desires, your attitude, your motives, your purpose and destiny is totally different. Amen? To God be the glory. All because of a what? First contact. So God requires us to be refreshed and continue to have first contact. Remember, revelation is a refreshing of first contact. John chapter 1. You know, the word tells us you'll know them by the fruit, right? Now, there are some that are fruity and granola and nutty and fruity, but, you know, but there are those who carry the true fruit. And one of them will be their character and how they give God glory. They do not take glory for themselves. In the book of John, chapter 1, please, verse 10. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So did they miss visitation? Yes. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? They were born of God. You can't be born of God without a first contact. Amen. Remember, the seed of God, when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, that seed comes in. When that seed, does, how does a seed grow? It must be what? Watered. The Holy Spirit comes and births that seed, and you become born again. That's why there's a difference between saved and born again. Does everybody understand that? It's important. See, because that seed, once it's fed, once it's watered by the Spirit of God, is the first contact. This is where Jesus is not Lord to many people, still Savior. That's why they live in the outer court, because they need a Savior all the time. When you live in the holy place, in the most holy place, he's Lord. Two different places. Amen. That's why you and I as born again Christians should be living in a holy place and the most holy place, not the outer court. Jesus was in the world. Amen. Now the Bible says that the Word became flesh, didn't it? And he dwelt among us. First contact of the Lamb of God was the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for humanity. He revealed. Look at how many people got saved that day. That was a sign of invitation, wasn't it? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when many people began to accept Jesus as Savior, then many people began to get baptized in the Spirit and had first contact. What was Jesus trying to do to the disciples when he said, go to the upper room and wait? I mean, he walked with them all of this time. They were saved. They relied on Jesus. But he wanted them to rely on the Holy Spirit, on his presence. So Jesus was assigned to them. You know, many of them still struggle with believing or not, especially when Jesus told them he was going to die and rise again. And he heard them tell the Pharisees and Sadducees that this temple would be destroyed and he'd raise it in 3 days. They were like, oh man, how's he going to do that? What kind of construction crew is he going to grab? It's because they were still thinking carnally. See, that first contact changes you. So Jesus told them all to go to the upper room for what? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. First contact. He said, then you would have power. Then you can be my witness. See, you can't be a witness of God without first contact. It's impossible. Then you need to refresh it. Amen? You need to be renewed in it. You know, there are also individuals that nullify their first contact and try and cover it up with their works, with their selfishness, with their pride, not reflecting off of their first contact. And they drift away. Where did they drift to? Outer court. Acts 2, verse 1, please. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For them, it was first contact. Amen? First contact of the Holy Spirit of God as the children of God became individual temples of God. See, it was no longer the tabernacle. They became the tabernacle. Does everybody understand that? They became the temple of the living God. Now Jesus, the way, truth, and life, was living in us. We are the temple of the living God. God, the word tells us, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? You know, so people don't remember that. When you begin to drift away from your first contact, you begin to lose sight of your identity and that you are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. This is where many people get caught up too much in the world. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. They get caught up in the chaos and all the other stuff. They get caught up in AI, technology. Verse 19, Acts 3, let's speak it. What does it say? Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of what? Refreshing may come from where? The presence of the Lord. The presence, that's why the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. Amen. When you, after you've had first contact, and now you're in the holy place, you are one who worships the Lord. You are a worshiper. And everything to you is to bring God glory. Your whole life is aimed at bringing God the glory no matter what's going on. Refreshing comes from the presence of God through worship. Maintaining first contact, order of revelation. That's what happens with me and you. Every revelation that comes to you will always bring you back to your first contact. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope is in him, purifies himself just as he is what? Just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he who was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his what? His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. His seed remains. What? That was the original invitation, wasn't it? When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, many people call it Lord and Savior, but he's really not your Lord until you are connected. That's when he lords over your life, where you don't do anything without him. You're not in a life of assumption, presumption. You live a life to be led by the Spirit. Amen? The seed of invitation remains. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. That's the purpose of me and you. to maintain first contact. Remember where you came from. Remember the first contact and desire more. Maintaining that first contact, revelation. And I'm going to close at Matthew 25. You know, I've seen so many people drift from their first contact. It's heartbreaking. They got caught up in the world, caught back up into addiction, caught back up into the things that are corruption and corrupting their spirit and their soul and body. And no matter what you do, you can't do anything, no matter what you say. Because they've been taken and been bound in their mind. Many of their consciences have been seared. And they no longer have the reverence of God. Even though at one time, they walked with God. But they walked away from Him. Look, we're all going to make mistakes. Amen? But there's a difference of making a mistake, even committing sin or whatever, and staying there. We don't stay there. Why? Because you've been refreshing your first contact. That's what the enemy loves to do. He loves to get people in isolation. If he can get a person in isolation, he can control their thoughts. Those mind-binding spirits and demonic forces, they're in torment all the time. They live in a false reality. And they try to convince people that they're fine, but they're really not. But you'll know them by their fruit, even though they can't judge their own fruit. Amen? We see this globally. Globally. But we must maintain no matter what. Amen? In Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now the five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." No one else can buy someone else's oil for them. You buy your own oil by worship. Hallelujah. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Wow. Jesus always recognizes Jesus. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." You know, we do work for people in the construction and handyman services and so forth. And we meet some sweet people. The problem is they haven't had first contact. They ignore and refuse to get in fellowship. They believe that they're just good people is good enough. To proclaim themselves as a Christian is good enough. They don't need God's presence. Because, you know, when you try to explain to them about God's presence, they can't get it. Because you can't explain God's presence, you must experience it. And they have a hard time. And you may ask them, "Why do you hate God's presence?" "Oh, I don't hate God's presence. I just don't want to go there." Well, then you hate God's presence. And what's in you to cause you in hating God's presence? See, they will not answer you. They'll make excuses. And the problem is because they've never had a first contact, or they've never maintained first contact. Amen? But for me and you, it's important. We're going to see the fruits of this a lot more and more. You're going to see many people proclaiming to be believers begin to drift. Because they're refusing to maintain first contact. Refusing God's presence. Thinking it's okay. I'm okay. I read God's words every day. There's nothing wrong with reading God's words or speaking His words. But without the anointing backed on His words, it's no good. We want to do something for God in gratitude and attitude for what He's done for us. Amen. We want to serve Him because we love Him, not because we're working to get into heaven. We're working out our salvation with reverence and honor and respect through obedience, through submission, through waiting on the Lord, to waiting for His next command, and maintaining the routine He's given us to fight daily and to maintain. Amen. That's how we are called out from the world and into His glory. Things are going to change shortly, more and more and more. We're seeing little trinkles of it. But you're going to see many arrests come. You're going to see all exposure of the enemy. We're going to watch the reward of the wicked. Come on, they just built a place here in Florida. What's it called again? Alligator what? Alcatraz. I love it. And they're already putting prisoners in them. They built it in 8 days. 6 or 8 days. That's phenomenal. It's got its own airlift there and everything. So they can hold them there and then drive them, fly them to whatever country. It's awesome. God is good. Listen, Florida's a great place to be right now. It's probably one of the safest places in the world. To be honest with you. But you know, it is a Bible Belt state. I came here for the weather from New York. And a few other things, but I'm not going to mention them. But I had no idea God was setting me up. He was setting me up for a sign and then first contact. Because He loves us unconditionally. I think that's one of the first things that you know when you are born of the Spirit is how much God loves you. It's a different love. It's not a love from the world. It's a love from heaven. You love people, but you're in love with Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. We give You all the glory, honor, and praise. We are always reminded of our first contact and revelation that You've given us, that we may know who we are in You and who You are in us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.